Good morning, everyone. I am Wert Ahmed, and today I have with me
Abdul Majid.
And it is Monday, the start of the week. Hopefully, we're off to a really, really strong start. Just to, you know, start it off today, Bitcoin MENA at ADNEC in Abu Dhabi has finally kicked off. Yeah. The doors have opened this morning at 9 a.m. And man, what these guys did, it's so special. It really is so special because what they basically did is they put together the first, you know, solely Bitcoin summit in the region, not just in the UAE, not just in Abu Dhabi, but in the entire MENA region. And they didn't just make it for investors and, like, you know, elite luxurious people. They did it for beginners too. Yeah. And that's what makes the event so special. And today, just to give you a look at what's going on, you know, they have speakers like Eric Trump, the very son of Donald Trump, coming in. They also have Safadin Amous, the famous author of the Bitcoin Standard, which I'm told by Majid, for many finance bros, this is like the book for them. Yeah. And it's not just that, but the event is actually also very interactive. So attendees can participate in various stages. They can go to the expo hall. They can engage in exclusive events like the Whale Night at Emirates Palace. And they also have this Bitball game featuring NFL legends competing for Bitcoin coming up. So that's also really special. If you guys don't want to miss out on this opportunity, the last day is tomorrow. It is a two-day event from today to December 10th.
And with Bitcoin hitting 100,000 in the past week,
this
event has become the go-to event.
It couldn't be more perfect.
Yeah,
it really couldn't be more perfect.
Their planning paid off in the form of Bitcoin hitting 100K.
Yeah.
And Bitcoin still floating around 99, 98. It went down till 96, 95. But then it jumped back again. So I guess the new normal for Bitcoin is the 90 to 100 mark. And then let's see when it crosses the 110 mark and 200,000, 300,000, 500,000. It'll like, keep going up. But yeah, obviously, it's a cryptocurrency. Fluctuation within seconds is always there. But it has gained a lot of momentum. And with this event coming, you need to be there. Trust me.
You really do need to be there.
You need to get the inside news of what's happening. And there's a lot of rumors circulating. Mm. There's a lot of things that are going to be announced there. If you look at Twitter, if you look at other social media channels, there's a lot of chatter about a very big announcement coming. I don't want to say it because I don't want to be wrong, but there are some very, very, very big announcements that can happen, including someone basically saying on X that UAE may start buying crypto, because we've seen a lot of countries. El Salvador is one example. They've normalized crypto to the extent that you can't even imagine. The country buys Bitcoin itself, trades in Bitcoin. Mm.
So, yeah, and I think that's what's so interesting about this summit, because I also read something about how, you know, they're not just going to show people how you individually as a person, you can, you know, you can get a piece of the cake, as you always like to say, of Bitcoin, but they're also going to be discussing how it's going to help, like, financial systems, governments in countries. So I'm actually very interested to see how that looks. But, like, just putting Bitcoin aside, how was your weekend, Majid?
Weekend was very good. I went to the, like, best Coke studio on the planet, Coke Studio Pakistan.
Yeah.
That's the best Coke studio in the world. So, no, but genuinely speaking, the numbers of Coke Studio Pakistan are, like, extreme. That is why Coke specially focuses on Coke Studio Pakistan. And every year we see Coke Studio Live happening here. Coca-Cola Arena is one of the best venues that I've seen. The built-up area and the way they've organized everything. The gates numbers and the seat number, which gate will you enter from, which region from you enter from. Everything is so planned in that place. I love that place. But just a few things that I found, like the production quality wasn't that good. I don't know, Coca-Cola itself does it.
Wait, was this at the Coca-Cola Arena?
Yeah, Coca-Cola Arena. Oh. Yeah, because it's Coca-Cola Arena and then there's Coke Studio, so it's
the
same thing.
Yeah. It was okay. It was good.
Yeah, the venue is very good. The production quality, I don't know what happened. Sometimes the singer, we couldn't hear them. We could hear the music only.
I think maybe it's their team.
Yeah,
because
sometimes
at the Mega
it happens.
It was really
good. With live concerts, that's not normal. It sometimes happens, but it could have been better. That's the only feedback I have.
Yeah.
But obviously, when you listen to your music from Pakistan, it's not just the Urdu language music. This year, they had a collaboration with Arabic and Polish singers So there's a lot of, we call it jugalbandi, like a lot of mashups happening, a lot of languages being involved. So it was a good...
Jugalbandi. I don't know if I'm saying this right.
Yeah. It's a good idea. It's like when two singers, they start playing together. So it's called jugalbandi, or two bands start playing together on the same stage. So that's the idea. So a lot of that happened.
Jugalbandi. Am I pronouncing it right? Yeah. For me, for my weekend, it was actually really interesting.
Yeah, you told me.
So basically, I have a friend, and she basically she had a pop up in this event in Abu Dhabi. It's called Mirbad. And her business is called From the Arabs. So she was doing a pop-up there, and she's like, you know, do you want to come with? I was like, you know what? Why not? You know what I mean? I really wanted to go check out like the cafes in Abu Dhabi, and we are always speaking about Abu Dhabi here. Yeah. So I was like, you know what, man? I have to step in. I have to see how it's actually like, not just, you know, go to summits. Genuinely, I wanted to get another look of it, you know, because usually whenever I go to Abu Dhabi, my family is based there. My father's family, Majid. So whenever I go there, it's always for family visits. I'm always annoyed because I'm in the car for like what, like 1 hour, 30 minutes. It bothers me. So this time it was strange, but because of how much me and you are always talking about Abu Dhabi, this time I was excited. I was like, you know what? Like, I want to see what we've been talking about. So I went there. I went for something called Mirbad. It's basically kind of like a Christmas like festival affair. It's kind of like Global Village, but more luxurious. If that makes sense. More luxurious in the sense of like it's more organized, the shops are, you know what I mean? But what was so interesting is that this event, it's actually very niche. It's kind of like if you know, you know. And what floored me even more, and I was so shocked, Majid, it was all locals. The entirety of the event. I was looking around and I'm like, oh my God, I am the only foreigner here. I was so shocked. I was like, what? Because it was the first time in my life I had seen that many locals, not just that many locals, but in the same location. Oh. So I was like, what's going on here? And when I noticed that a lot of the shops, they were all like homegrown brands. Like, for example, there was Knot, there was Turtle Cove, Chapter. It was all just such niche shops, and it was so interesting. It was just, I don't know, I just found it so strange because everywhere you go in the UAE, every place you see, it's always going to be so diverse. But this location, you could tell that, you know, if it's something you know it.
Yeah.
If you don't know it, you just don't know it. And it's like, I had so much fun. I loved it because the food was really good.
How was the experience? You were talking about it. How was the experience of looking at Mubadala and all these buildings, which you usually put in our pictures.
Yeah.
But for me, it was also surprising when I saw, I was like, $1 trillion building. Yeah. So much money.
Basically, I told Majid, I was like on the way, like I saw all the companies were always talking about like Mubadala. I saw all the, what's it called? Like even like media companies, Microsoft. And I was like, wow. You know, you're telling me that this city, it has the largest sovereign wealth funds in the world, and it's been voted the richest city. And and you know what's strange though, when you're actually there, I even looked at my friend. You know, she's local. I'm like, wow, it's really the richest city in the world. It doesn't look like it.
It doesn't feel like it. Right?
Exactly, it doesn't.
Dubai
look
feels
like
it.
Yeah,
Dubai has the feel of glamour
it
and
does.
Luxury. You go out on Sheikh Zayed on a Saturday, any night. Any evening you go out, you'll feel it. The buildings, the lights, everything. But in Abu Dhabi, it's so nice and quiet. But it's the richest city.
That's weird, right? That's so strange to me. And honestly, classic example of appearances for you. It's a classic example of that. And for our first story today, we have actually had the CEO of Apple, Tim Cook, visit Abu Dhabi. And what he had to say was extremely interesting. Tune in for this. Basically, he went to say on X, visiting Qasr al-Husn today in the heart of Abu Dhabi with two talented Emirati photographers, Ula and Huda, was the perfect way to start my trip in this beautiful country. Thank you for showing me how you capture the world around you using iPhone 16 Pro. And this point specifically, I found it so interesting, Majid, because, you know, until I actually started working here, I didn't realize that you can create such high production videos with an iPhone.
Yeah.
Like I truly thought that all the videos that I was seeing online and all these creators that they were using like professional cameras, but they're not. They're using the iPhone, and just to see like Cook himself like recognize it, it was nice to see. But not just that, like if you take a look at the photo of like, you know, both the Emirati girls standing there with him, it's just really wholesome to see. Do you know what I mean? It's wholesome to see like just like, you know, two really young people with such an established man like that, because it's, to me, it's really telling me that young people, we are leading.
Yeah.
We are leading and we are going to continue leading. And it just, I don't know, it made me happy. It really did.
Building up on what you said, that he is standing there with two Emirati girls. The nice thing that I saw is that the best people on this planet, the biggest people whom everyone knows, they're coming here.
Exactly.
And they're interacting with this region, with the people, with the culture, with everything.
Yeah.
And they finally realized that this is the new center of the world. This is going to be the epicenter
of
New America, New Europe, whatever you call it. It's going to be the center of the world for the rest of next 2-3 decades at least. And that is why they're coming here. They're interacting with people. I saw a press release. I didn't read it completely, but Saudi Arabia is also getting one more store or something, Apple retail store. So all this stuff is happening in this region. That's the most important part. Recently, you went to mega campus. Some of the biggest names in the in different industries.
They're all coming here.
They're coming here. They're speaking here. Randy Zuckerberg, interestingly, you went to mega campus. She was there. And after that, she was there at Abu Dhabi Business Week. I just saw her name in the agenda. And I was like, okay, so they're coming here. They're not coming here for one commitment.
Yeah.
They're coming here for multiple commitments.
They're not just, it's not just, you know, like an invite. They're,
that they'll come and just speak and leave. They're coming
they're
and exploring.
They want to. Even like recently, we've had Lisa Macarino after she stayed with Prince Waleed bin Talal. She came here. We also had the CEO of TikTok who was also just recently here drinking karak. But just to expand on what Majid said, basically, Apple is set to open a new store next year. And this store, they have spent over 6 billion dirhams in the past 5 years for this, and it's going to create more than 38,000 jobs.
Yeah.
And when I hear the specific point of 38,000 jobs, you have to wonder like how big is it going to be? Because for me, my favorite Apple store, it's the one in Mall of the Emirates. Oh. I love it, man.
One is in Mall of Dubai Mall. I've never like gone into it like with
I'm not
an Apple user, so I always go in following my wife.
No.
Okay, where are we going? Okay, we're standing here. I don't like enjoy going and checking the devices. I'm not an Apple person. But
you should become. you should become an Apple person.
This is the only Apple that I use my laptop.
The quality is better. It's better than any other phone.
I don't know. It's just
I'll like forever be team
acquired
Apple.
Acquired taste, I guess. Apple is an acquired
taste. It's not acquired taste. It's actually really good.
I guess I grew up with an Android. It's easier. It's comfortable. It's more like I grew up with a Windows PC and then I switched to laptop. So that was easy. But Apple, with the laptop, I've seen a difference in quality. So I can agree with that. Phone-wise, let's see. Maybe someday when Apple 100 comes out, maybe I become an Apple person.
I'm so loyal
but
to Apple.
Yeah, I've realized that the loyalty, the brand loyalty for Apple is crazy. An Android person,
can
if
you
blame
start...
Us? No, I guess it's good marketing. It's good branding. It's
not
the
even
way
marketing. It's actually good. It's
the device itself.
Good. And and listen,
see,
like
brand the thing that I'm talking about,
listen,
you're exactly
I'll
doing
tell
that.
You something.
I will never defend an Android device. I'll never defend an Android device. But an Apple person, even if you say good things about it, they'll start adding on it. They won't be like, yes, I agree with you. They'll be like, no, this is also good. This
it's
is also
so good,
good
because how do I, like, okay, I grew up with a dad, Majid. Oh. Let me tell you, my dad got from the first iPhone to the most recent iPhone, he got them all.
Nice.
And growing up, I saw him do it. Like, this iPhone, like, I, from my memory, I remember iPhone 6. I don't remember the ones after. He got the iPhone 6. Okay, aged, iPhone 7. iPhone 7, aged, I remember all of them. I'm telling you, I can recall them all. You know why? Because as a kid, like, you wanted to, and then you see your dad coming home, new box, opening it every single year.
That boxing happening right in front.
Yeah, and it's not yours. It's not for you. But it's like, I saw my dad get every single one of them. And let me tell you, like, it is the dream. Apple is so good. Like, it changed. And it's like, it's the quality, by the way. Yeah. You don't realize it until you have your own. You don't realize it because my mother, interestingly, she's Samsung. She loves Samsung. And it's like, we're trying to convert her right now, slowly. I'm going to get to you soon. But you need an Apple phone.
But what is the difference between an iPhone and Android if you just have to tell one difference?
It's the camera. The camera is everything. It is the camera.
I don't take much photos, so... Not for me, I guess. See, you have to convince me. I'm a very, I'm not a staunch defender of Android. I'll never be. But I'm not an Apple person. I just don't think
vibe
that Apple iPhone gives you. Oh, yeah, the problem with the chargers and the charging. Mm. I don't know. Apple is, I don't think it's a device that you use. Because, see, WhatsApp, I can use them on my Android, you can use. The apps are nearly the same. I guess everything that you use a phone for is the same. It's just the feeling of having an Apple. I guess that's more...
Yeah, there is an elite feeling to it.
Yeah, because you can take out an iPhone... See?
I'm so sorry.
iPhone people never silent their phones. I've realized that also because they want people to know I have an iPhone.
No!
See? Always on silent.
I did not mean to. My phone was on do not disturb. But when you ring twice, sorry about that. My bad.
But the main thing is, I guess the Apple marketing is really, really great. Not from now. Now it's, we're introducing AI and features. The start of Apple, where Steve Jobs took it, that was crazy.
Exactly.
The marketing he did, the niche he created, that if you're using an Apple iPhone, you would feel special. Feeling that he gave, because branding is mostly about how you, see, there's two things to anything. A product that is utilizable, like usable, and then there's the feeling that you get from the product. So the feeling with Apple iPhone, that's what the genius of Steve Jobs is.
I don't just think it's a feeling. I think they were also one of the
first to do it, right?
They were the first to do it, to develop something like this.
No. There was Android phones before that, right?
No, I remember there was this
There was Java, which was in, like, I'm very old, so I understand. There was Java that was used to produce games in the phones, and then there was, like, basic phones. The Nokia 6600 is the, like, people who are 30 plus, they will know Nokia 6600, the best phone that ever came out. And then there was a flurry of phones.
And then Sony Ericsson was good for music. Remember the one that had, like, the really tiny, and a lot of people had it. Yeah. I remember when I was...
I can still type on a number pad.
I forgot what it was called.
Because we used to communicator, like it had a whole keyboard, big one.
Apple.
Yeah, there's Xiaomi. There's like 1 million brands. To be honest, with Android, that's the good part about Android. Open source, so every brand can use it. That's the good part. iPhone, if there is a problem, only iPhone can solve it.
No, imagine,
it's
you're being a hater.
It's a closed circuit, you know, it's a closed circuit. Only iPhone can resolve it. Android, anyone can. They can. I remember there was a time, sorry we're going into very technical details, but there was a time when you could root your Android phone. No, actually the Java phone, the older ones. And you could decide what will appear as the phone turns on. Now you turn it on, you get the Apple icon, I get the Oppo, whatever brand I'm using, Samsung. But you could root your phone to put your picture on it. So when you restarted the phone, your picture will appear, whatever you wanted. So we've come through that time. But I guess now the devices are so similar and the competition is so strict that I don't think there is competition on the basis of features.
Yeah.
The competition is on the basis of still feeling. iPhone feels good. iPhone feels, I'm richer, I'm better, I'm... All these feelings.
That's true.
Yeah. Mm. Android is like, you have a phone. Usable. You can call someone. Coming back to Tim Cook coming to Middle East. No, it's good. I love these discussions because then with you give me the new perspective, which I don't have, to be honest, right now. with me. I get you the old, historic, ancient perspective.
You know, Magic, can I tell you something crazy? My brother, he's obsessed with technology.
No, I mean it.
It's the only thing in this world that makes him happy. Like, when I give my brother my phone, I've never seen him any happier, but he loves technology. And he was actually one of the first people in the UAE to have the first iPad when it came out. Yeah, nice. My dad, because he works in telecom, he was able to get it for him before it even landed in the UAE. And so it's like, when I tell you I am loyal to Apple, I mean it, man. I'm so loyal. It's so, all of its products, it's not just with Apple, it's not just its branding, as you said. It's also its variation of products that it provides you. You know, you have the Apple Watch, the laptops,
the iPads.
You have everything, and they all work really well, by the way.
Yeah.
They all
but
work
really,
really well.
But you can buy another smartwatch for half the price. But they don't have cards. It's a wannabe version, though.
It's a wannabe version.
I would just tell you, the difference that I've seen throughout my life with Apple users, they'll always defend their device to an extent that you can't even imagine. An Android user will never defend their device. That's
just
an observation.
Yeah, because they know it's not that good.
No, it's just that they're using it and they're happy with it, I guess. It's like, I remember a programmer, I had a few engineer friends who were programmers. So some of them would use Mac, some of them would use Windows. But then I had this very weird group of 2-3 friends who would use Linux. Have you heard of that?
Never.
So that's a very Linux. programmer guys setup, like Windows and Mac OS. So you always have that outlier.
Yeah.
Apple took that idea and made it general. That, we'll give you something that will make you feel special. So yeah, let's
see
move
what
on.
What you mean?
iPhone is good. I agree. I'm never saying iPhone is bad. The only thing is that the feeling that is attached with it, that makes it special, not the features.
See,
Oppo phones have the best cameras in the world. They claim that according to their surveys. Samsung says we have the best camera. Apple says we have the best camera.
They do have the best camera, though.
Yeah, because Samsung people also say they have the best camera.
But
see, you're defending brand loyalty. I'm telling you.
No, this is not brand loyalty.
This is brand loyalty.
This is the truth. And the truth will stand. But speaking of specialty and all things special, we have something amazing coming up. Dubai is finally going to become a walkable city. Sheikh Mohammed has approved a 6.5 kilometer long pedestrian friendly walkaway network. So let me tell you about it. So this plan is envisioning a 6.5 kilometer walkaway network by 2040, featuring 3.3 kilometers of newly built paths and 2.3 kilometers of upgraded routes. So this is going to include major landmarks such as Burj Khalifa, Dubai International Financial Center, Dubai Marina, and Jumeirah Lakes Towers will be all seamlessly connected together. Now, when I take a look at this project, I'm completely intrigued. I mean, how is this going to happen?
It's simple. They're trying to build a 15-minute city, and in that 15-minute city, you need less traffic, obviously. So they're going for air taxis.
Yeah.
They're going for a bigger metro network. They're trying to create an environment where there's less cars on the road. So walking, if it's made easy, we've seen a lot of like metro connecting towers that we have already, that you can walk from one side of the road to the other side. I guess the idea will center around that. Because there's AC there. Also, the thing that they're building around Burj Khalifa, that's a very futuristic project.
Future Loop.
That thing will also be a very big walkable area. So they're trying to create something again. I'll give you a very simple example. They were trying to create Burj Khalifa. Everyone was like, how will they do it? They did it. Burj Khalifa is there.
It's not lack of belief.
Yeah.
I was just genuinely curious.
Yeah.
Because when you take a look, like just generally, when you take a general look at the infrastructure of the UAE, specifically Dubai, it isn't walkable. Do you know what I mean? Like if somebody just dropped you off on the highway, Majid, like in the middle of the highway, like what are you going to do? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Only certain areas, certain communities. If you live in a community, you can walk around it.
Yeah.
But you can't actually walk from said community A to said community B. Do you know what
maybe,
I mean? So that's why I was
they will develop something. Nothing is beyond their reach. That's
their
idea.
For sure.
Yeah, they believe in whatever they think is possible after 10 years, they'll try to do it. They'll start trying to do it today.
I think they will succeed, by the way. You know, interestingly, this weekend I was speaking with my grandfather. So my grandfather recently just came from Riyadh to stay with us. And man, he's so hilarious. You know what he told me? He went like when he was staying at Riyadh with his daughter and her husband, he told me that he actually told his daughter and her husband that, guys, like, you know, there is no better city in the world than Riyadh. Saudi Arabia is way better than Dubai. He said, can you believe I said that? And I'm like, what are you talking about? He said, like, when I came back here, like, for him to stay with us, what happened is, you know, we took him out to, like, see everything. And he was like, man, I was completely wrong. Imagine that. And my grandfather, by the way, he's like 87. He told me, he was like, I was completely wrong. Like, I was just talking out of my mind. And I'm like, it's interesting that you say that. He went like, and he said another statement that just gave me goosebumps, by the way. He went like, these Arabs, man, they're not going to be beaten again.
Yeah.
He went like, these Arabs are becoming better than everyone. And I'm like, wow, like just to see somebody like, mashallah, who has lived for that long to say that, it just gave me like this, I was just so inspired. I was just left there like, you know, like, whoa, you know, what more are they going to do? And speaking.
And so the idea is basically, the plan is a 6.5 kilometer walkway network by 2040. So we have like 15 years left for that to happen. It'll have a 3.3 kilometer of newly built paths, walking paths, and 2.3 kilometers of upgraded routes. So already there, where there is walkways, they'll upgrade them, and 3.3 kilometers, they'll build from scratch. So 6.5 kilometer, but after 2040, the whole plan is a 900 kilometer walking area, walking space. I don't know how they vision it. But I'm sure they will complete it some way or the other. So that's the main idea. They're trying to make walking as easy as possible in the city. I understand there's a lot of confusion around how it will happen in the heat, the 2-3 months that we see, June, July, August. But
yeah, that is a valid concern.
They will have a plan for it. That's the idea.
For sure.
They always have a plan for something.
I think just like very recently, they installed outdoor conditioning for, I think it was CityWalk.
Yeah.
And a lot of people always complain that CityWalk during the summer is absolutely unbearable. And I think they implemented something for that. So they'll definitely implement something for this. The idea I can relate to is
you go to Dubai Safari Park. It's an outdoor, whole big area. They have mist fans there, big mist fans, not even small. It's like it's raining on you.
Yeah.
You go to SeaWorld, they have it from the parking till the entrance. So they're trying to build that initially. They have this idea already going on. So how they will do it, when they will do it, what will happen, we'll soon see, to be honest.
Yeah.
We'll soon have an idea what will happen.
Yeah, we
But right now, they've approved the plan at least.
Yeah. And, you know, speaking of what's going on right now, for the first time, Al Jazeera media outlet has broadcasted live from Damascus following the fall of Bashar al-Assad's regime. So for the first time in a very long time, they have broadcasted live from Damascus. Now this, it's a really big moment. It's a really, really big moment for Syria. However, a lot of people have questions about what's happening because Reuters just recently reported that there was a suspected Israeli strike
that
hit a part of Damascus. And they're also reporting that it hit a part of Syria because they wanted to disband weapons that were available there. So
there's a lot of things happening. The main idea is that Al Jazeera going live from a region, that means there's the doors have opened. With revolutions, the only thing that I can say is with the revolutions, they're all messy. They're all messy in the first 2 months. The problem with revolutions and all these throwing up, we've seen the Arab Spring, then Arab Winter. There's like a lot of terms that have been used for all that, which started from Tunisia and all that. The economy suffers.
Yeah.
That's my only. It's not a problem even. It's the people are happy. They think they've thrown out someone who wasn't caring for them, and they've brought in a rebel leader who they think can do something better. That's the whole idea. That's the whole idea of every revolution. They want someone better to rule. But economy always collapses in these situations.
Yeah.
So the economic recovery, how long will it take? How long will it take for the people to actually see the result? Mm. That is always the problem with these things.
For sure.
So it's economically, they're very messy. The only good thing that I can see from all of this is that they may see some stability, economic stability mainly. To be honest, at the end of the day, what does a normal person who lives in a country needs? Food, house, and safety. Safety is like, to be honest, for me, right now, safety is secondary. Food and housing. All those are coming from money. You can't
safety
buy a house. Safety for now, because it's a lot of things that are happening. So right now, they won't be thinking more about safety. It's like putting food on the table and having a house to sleep. That's like the basic thing.
But I think for them with safety, Majid, you know,
they've been through wars. They don't care about safety.
It's not that they don't care about safety. This event in particular, it's been such a rewarding milestone, I believe, for them because of the fact that people who have been jailed for years, you know, they have finally come out. I think in particular, what made me really emotional was seeing that someone who entered the jail, I forgot the name of the jail, but they entered this jail in Syria when they were 18. Yeah. They came out when they were 58. So I think that, you know, safety and what you say of, you know, getting your basic needs, aren't they one and the same? Because you getting those basic needs, it is a safety net. It is something that makes you feel safe. It is something that makes you feel stable. I don't think you can separate one from the other.
But Syria is like the latest thing. We've seen Iraq. We're seeing a lot of things happening. Israel is doing the genocide in Gaza.
Sudan.
Sudan is happening. There's the Lebanon ceasefire just happened. All these things that you see economically, they're so damaging that it takes sometimes, I won't say sometimes, it usually takes a decade to come back. Mm. And that decade is going to be a test for the people.
And you don't even know that comeback will happen. You know, especially with what we're seeing with the suspected attacks from Israel, we don't even know if that's going to happen for them. However, there is that small relief of, you know, people being released from jails for crimes that they didn't do.
All these feelings came at the time of Arab Spring as well. See the countries, that the condition that they're in. So it's not always good to overthrow a leader and bring in a new leader. It's always what they will do eventually. So right now, it's very fresh.
Western involvement is not required.
That they can decide, the new government, whichever will
Western
be formed.
Western involvement never
See,
ever
I,
leads
I
to
won't
success.
Ever say that Western involvement is wrong because Western.
Really?
No, not completely wrong because Western involvement comes important sometimes because they come with NGOs. They give the people at the very last bottom food and everything. So they become a very necessary evil for a short time economically. Because right now, with all this happening, the banks are closed, the economy is closed down, trade will stop, everything will stop. There is some kind of relief that the NGOs, and they usually come from the West. So obviously, our country, for example, in Gaza, UAE is doing a great. Middle Eastern countries will obviously go and help Syria right now. Not Syria, the people of Syria, because those are the most important pieces in any nation, the people itself. So economically, they will need some help. They will need some support for time. Middle East obviously will contribute. And eventually, Western NGOs, they always come. It's not that everyone is evil in West. We have to see that there is a spectrum. There is like black and white, but everyone falls in between. There's like darker shades of gray.
It's not that I'm saying they're evil. It's because I've seen Libya. You know, we've seen
Afghanistan. Yeah, a lot of things have happened, yeah.
And we've seen how, you know, U.S. involvement in particular, it's done nothing but actually, you know, lead to things like the rise of the Muslim Brotherhood.
Yeah, there's a lot of things. It's not only Muslim Brotherhood. There's 1 million things that have happened. See, the basic idea is whoever comes to help them right now is good because they will need all the help. It happens in catastrophes, earthquakes, floods, whatever happens in the world. You always need help from everyone and anyone possible to get to a stage where you become stable, the new government coming in becomes stable, the economy restarts because it has to restart. It can't just go in the way that it is going. They've seen war for, I don't know how many, 7, 8, 10 years now with Bashar al-Assad and everything happening. So they need that time. They will need every help. Middle East will help. West will help. Mm. So for that 2-3 months, the time that will, it's very fresh, to be honest.
Every
it's just two or three
success.
Days old. As soon as they get to that point where they're like, okay, finally things have settled down. The army comes back from the roads. Everyone sees that, okay, now something is happening. And people go home from the protest and the celebrations and everything.
Yeah.
Then the real building process starts. And that is what we
you
will
make
have
it
to
sound
see.
So simple, magic.
It's not simple. I'm just not simplifying so simple. It in the step procedure that the first, very first step is bringing everything back to a normal. And that is the very first step. I know this step itself involves 1 million pieces to be moved in certain places. But the very first step is to calm everything down, relax, go home. Because you finally won, if you think like you've thrown him out and you've won. Now, how do you restart your life? How do you restart your home? How do you put food on the table three times a day? How do you send your kids to school? How do the banks start back? How does trade, one of Syria, all these Middle Eastern countries, they rely heavily on oil and a lot of things. So how do you restart trade? How do you restart everything? So the restarting part is the most important part right
but,
now.
But you know, how you mentioned like all these pieces. You know, how are they going to do that when all the pieces are scattered?
Yeah, it takes
because
time.
When all the pieces are scattered, that's only going to allow other players to enter into the field.
Yeah, they will.
You know, that's the only thing that it's going to result
People
in.
People always take advantage of someone who has a weakness. So you see it in sports. If some team has a weakness in sport, they will take advantage. That depends on the people there. How strong of a will that they have to fight back and what they've won, stick with it. So it takes a lot of things to come out of a revolution. Starting a revolution, overthrowing, that's just like one half of the equation. The second half, the recovery, the restart part starts now. Obviously, let's see, hopefully their economy survives. Hopefully they don't go into bankruptcy now, which is another problem. That's the only thing. So yeah, hopefully they will come back and hopefully our countries, the Middle Eastern powers, UAE has always helped everyone in the region. Right now you can see UAE helping everyone in the region. Last number that I saw was 800 million in aid to Gaza by now. So these countries will help, everyone will help. We have good wishes for Syria, especially the people of Syria. For me, it's always the people and the last consumer. In business, it's always the consumer. He should be happy. And in a country, the people should be happy.
Yeah. And with that being said, thank you so much for watching, everyone. This is Smashy Business Show, a Smashy Business production under the Augustus Media Podcast Network. You can find our newsletter on Smashy TV, and you can also find us on X and Instagram and LinkedIn. Make sure to tune in for tomorrow.